We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Marks and Reese, we're back live at Spectrum Field, the home of the Philadelphia Phillies. Johnny Marks, Ike Reese, and joining us right now. Well, Ike, today we've had Bryce Harper in the booth. We've had Aaron Nola in the booth, but I'm happier to see Gabe Kapler here almost as much as Bryce Harper.
He's not just saying that because you're here.
You're my man.
He's a huge Kapler fan.
I'd also like to hear a little bit about Aaron's interview because he's an interesting, deep guy, and it doesn't always come out, and I'm curious if it came out for you guys.
We've talked, and Gabe, thanks for joining us, man. As always, a pleasure. We've interviewed Aaron enough to know he is a sly, sarcastic, dry sense of humor, and you kind of, every time you interview him, you kind of, you're not sure, you're like, the first couple times that we did, we're kind of like, did he not like that question, or exactly, no, but Aaron, he's got a great sense of humor.
And it's really interesting, and we saw it today, he's not an easy read in an interview, but he's an easy read on the mound, just an absolute competitor. You know, he will cut your head off. He is that kind of competitor. And it's evident every time he steps foot on the mound, and it's different than in person. He's such a kind, soft-spoken man.
Yep. I think it's a great place to start. Listen, he made his debut today. We obviously will get to all the offseason stuff. But, I mean, you're talking about ace of your staff right here coming off his best year as a major league pitcher. One of the things that I guess concerned me a little bit is that he had his best year, pitched his most innings. Do you worry about the following year and whether or not there'll be anything that's pulled out of him to where he can't get back to where he was last year?
I don't worry about that, but I understand the concern. The reason I don't worry about it is because I don't know anybody that prepares as well as Aaron Nola. Visit the clubhouse any night before his start. He's got 14 bottles of water lined up in front of his locker. It's just one after the other. He's hydrating for the next day. Visit the clubhouse or the weight room a few days in advance, and you'll see nobody working harder than Aaron Nola. Talk to our pitching coaches. Talk to his teammates. Nobody studies the game like he does. So if there's somebody who can withstand the biggest workload of his career through preparation, it's Aaron Nola.
Yeah, Gabe Kapler joining us here live in Clearwater. We will have the Bryce Harper interview in its entirety right after Gabe leaves the booth. And Gabe, so I can tell you how I was handling the whole Bryce Harper thing before he signed. It was weeks, and one day it seemed like he was coming here. The next day it seemed like that he was going out west. The day before he actually signed, it felt like that maybe he was going to the Giants. How did you handle it as the manager of the team, knowing that this could be such an important piece for your team in 2019?
We approached it in two different ways. The first way was genuine excitement every time his name came up, right? The first thing we are before we're baseball people is we're human beings. Mm-hmm. So we kind of ride the waves of emotion. We get excited about the news that we're reading, the possibility of Bryce Harper standing out there in right field, the possibility of writing his name into the lineup. And you get, you know, your heart beats a little bit faster because you know how good it would make your ball club. And then the other way we approach it, and the one that we really pay close attention to, is if I'm going to expect our players to not pay attention to trade rumors and to focus on the things that they can control in the batting cage, on the mound, on the dirt, on the bases, then I have to do the same thing. So I was uber focused coming into this camp on the players that we currently had on the roster. And once we got to camp, I was focused on our pitchers and catchers the day that they reported. And then I was focused on the opposition when we started playing games. And so that's how I was thinking about it. On one hand, obviously excited as a person. On the other hand, as the manager of the Phillies, my job is to stay focused if I'm going to expect our players to stay focused.
Yeah. What did you, Gabe, it was an interesting year last year because you guys had great success early, and then you hit the hiccup in the last 6 weeks of the season. It's not an easy place to manage Philadelphia. What did you learn? What's the biggest thing you learned last year being the manager of the Phillies?
The biggest thing that I learned is we were in first place through the middle of the summer. We won 80 games, a significant increase from 2017. And the biggest lesson, the obvious takeaway, is that's not good enough. It's not enough to make an improvement. The only thing that's acceptable is winning and trying to win every single night. One of the things that I became very sensitive to is balancing game strategy with the emotion of the players. And, you know, I think the better that we got at that as a team, really paying attention to what was happening inside the brains and the hearts of our players, and then balancing that with strategic and tactical advantages, not weighing one more than the other, but really creating balance. And then this spring training, focusing on fundamentals. The fundamentals are so critical. The turns around the bases, picking up the baseball and throwing it across the diamond like we did today, picking up our pitching staff, hustle. One of the things that we're thinking about a lot is hard off the bag and hard back to the bag, so you don't see us getting back picked this season. So to wrap that all up, there's the balance between the strategic and the emotion of our players, and then really focusing on the fundamentals so that there are fewer mistakes, we play better defense, we instill more confidence in our pitchers.
Last year, obviously a much younger ball club, your first year managing, a lot of, I guess, introduction to your new ball club.
Sure.
Both ways, really.
Sure.
You learning your players, players learning you. And then you come back this year after having a pretty good year in recent history for the ball club, and it's almost like you got a whole new ball club. Is that going to be difficult for you? Do you have to change up your approach to things or what?
Well, one of the things that I found interesting is last year we played most of the season with the youngest roster in baseball. Like, even when we were doing a lot of winning, we were the youngest club in the game, and at certain points by a significant margin. So now some of the players that we've acquired, interestingly, a lot of them are still pretty young. Bryce Harper's in his mid-20s,
yeah,
you know, JT Realmuto still young. And then we added a few seasoned veterans, right? Andrew McCutchen, and Andrew McCutchen by no means is old, right? This is a guy who's still conceivably in the prime years of his career. So you look around the diamond, we have this base of youth, Vince Velasquez, Nick Pivetta, Zach Eflin, Aaron Nola, and then we've got this nice veteran present, Jake Arrieta, David Robertson, Andrew McCutchen, and you can kind of see things starting to come together. Now, we still have to play the game. We still have to prepare like nobody else because the margins are so thin at the major league level. If you're not more prepared than the other club, we will get exposed.
Yeah.
So we have to out-prepare. We have to out-hustle, and we have to out-work, and that's our intention.
How does having guys that are veteran players like Realmuto, even though he's still young, still a veteran player, already been an all-star, bringing in McCutchen, Segura, having these guys in your clubhouse, I'm sure that helps to make your job easier to be a manager.
No question. I mean, I look back to the clubhouses that I was in as a player, let's say the mid-2000s Boston Red Sox, and those teams were policed by the players.
Right.
So the boundaries were set, the expectations were set by the Jason Veritechs of the world, the Trot Nixons of the world, the Billy Millers of the world, in some cases the Pedro Martinez's of the world, and they were the ones out in that environment and setting the boundaries and saying this is as far as it goes. Now, we have that kind of veteran presence in our clubhouse now. So what that does is it allows me to connect with those veteran players and say, here are the things that are important to me. Now, you tell me what's important to you, and let's go out and do this together, collectively.
What is we know you went out, you visited with Bryce Harper. Now you're getting to know him even more. What was that meeting like? What did you guys talk about, and did you leave Las Vegas feeling good about him coming to the Phillies?
Yeah, I think that Bryce is a very intelligent person. He's a very prepared person. And in that conversation, I learned about all those things. The first thing that I learned is he knows his history. He knew all about the Philadelphia Phillies when we got to Las Vegas. He is, from the opposing dugout, we saw that Bryce Harper is an intense competitor. He's also very intense in his conversations. Very connected, very engaged, an excellent listener. And since he's been in our clubhouse, I've only seen the same things. Like I said, very engaged, very connected, and desperately wants to win baseball games.
Yeah, he does. So you think this, you can look at it two ways. Ike said it makes your job a little easier. Maybe it makes your job even a little bit tougher because now there's real expectations. You added three All-Stars. You added other very good players. How do you view this season for you?
I love the expectations. You know, the fact that we now have a roster that is going to be judged on wins and losses rather than on development is huge to us. Really, we all play this game. We all coach this game. We all manage this game to be judged on what happens between the lines. How many games do we win at the end of the season? How successful are we at bringing fans into the ballpark? And how much enthusiasm is there at Citizens Bank Park on a nightly basis? That will all be predicated on wins. So I could not be happier about the Rays' expectations. If there's additional pressure, that's great. One of the things about playing in a city or now managing in a city like Boston or Philadelphia is that people expect greatness. They expect the highest level of intensity and the highest level of effort. They will accept nothing less. And that's what we want. That's why we do this.
So you don't think we're crazy?
I don't.
I think we're crazy, Gabe. We are crazy. It's okay.
The way I see it is Philadelphia fans are as passionate and as challenging as any fans on the planet. And that is a great thing. It brings out the best in us.
Yeah, it's the fans are very excited. I'm sure you hear at the park down here in Clearwater, plenty of Philly fans down
yes.
here. They're excited back up north waiting for this ball club
they're traveling with us now.
How about
so,
that?
Like through the Grapefruit League, yeah. We're starting to see the fans come out in groves, and it's really impressive. And a lot of them are saying things like, this is how it's going to be all year, which, you know, raises the level of excitement in our clubhouse. We can't wait to get to CBP and feel that excitement.
Yeah, I mean, I can go back 10 years to what it looked like down here in Clearwater 10 years ago coming off the World Series, and during that run, you would have thought you were in Philadelphia with all the Reds. So, Gabe, get used to it. It's going to be a fun ride. And listen, I think Jason Worth said this to Bryce Harper. There's no better place to win in than Philadelphia, and we've seen that with the Eagles just 2 years ago, and we saw it with the Phillies before that. So you got some work on your hands, but it's good work.
And that's what I love about it. There's so much work still to be done, right? We have flaws, and we need to work on those flaws. Like, circling back to the thing that I said just a few minutes ago, the fundamentals of baseball, right? Focusing on getting dirty, diving back hard, always being alert, never missing an opportunity to take an extra 90 feet. Those are the things that will get us where we need to go.
Every year, Gabe, when the season is over with, managers, you sit with your players, coaches, things of that nature, and you give guys things they need to work on, right, to improve on, to come back the next year to serve so that they are better players. You're a former player, and I know you're a great self-evaluator.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say was the thing you wanted to come back this year and do differently than you did last year in your second year?
I think I touched on it a little bit earlier. Really, I'm a tactical guy. I like the X's and the O's of baseball, right? I like trying to figure out how to get a strategic advantage. Sometimes I need to be a little bit more in tune with how those strategic advantages impact our players. And sometimes I have to put away the strategic advantages. So I'll give you an example. Our new look roster has a lot of guys that we get to put out there every single day. There doesn't have to be as much mixing and matching, right? Our lineup is probably going to look pretty familiar to the Phillies fans on a regular basis. Now, there might be a little tweak here and there, but last year we were kind of forced into some of those tweaks because our roster wasn't as deep and it wasn't consistent. If you think about our catching position, Real Muto is going to catch as much as he can possibly handle. You look at first base, Rhys Hoskins is going to play first base as much as he can physically handle. Cesar Hernandez, Gene Segura, you go out into the outfield and you got Bryce Harper and you got Andrew McCutchen. Like, these are guys that you're going to see in the lineup on a regular basis. So I think there's some dependability that's going to change. I mean, that's one of the things that I'm really looking forward to, is just sticking guys out there and letting them do their thing.
Yeah, yeah. It gets a little easier to do when you have this much talent on a team, too.
No doubt.
Right?
No doubt.
All right, Gabe, we know you have an event to go to tonight, but I got to ask you, what did you do? What did you do this offseason? What did you get into? How'd you spend your downtime? I don't know if you have downtime. You seem like a pretty busy guy. Would
yeah,
you do anything fun?
I don't consider myself any busier than anybody else, but I got to spend a lot of time in the city of Philadelphia. I learned a lot of the streets, walked around anywhere I could, got home for a little bit to Southern California and spent time with my family, got back to Philadelphia, and got back to work.
What do you like about the city?
So it's really interesting. Sports talk radio is a representation of one part of the city, but there's also another part out there, right? And getting out there and meeting fans, shaking hands, talking about baseball was a lot of fun. Additionally, I love food. I love to get out and experience new restaurants. Got to experience a couple of pizza joints. I got to experience some finer dining establishments. I got to experience some hole in the wall, you know, little mom and pop shops. And I loved all of it. And
holding the wall, those are my type of spots there, man. Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Probably a different spot.
No, maybe South Philly Barbecue. You ever been there?
No, I haven't.
That's a little hole in the wall that I think you'd really enjoy. There's just some great places all over Philadelphia, as you guys well know.
Nah, man. We're so excited about this season. And I thought last year, right, that you coming in gave the fans a lot of excitement, and then it got in the season, and we didn't know whether to be excited, whether to be frustrated, or what the heck to do throughout the course of the season. And now I just think this fan base is excited for your ball club and moving forward, man. And you should be excited that you're going to have a lot of support behind you.
There's no question about that. I am excited about it. I'm grateful for it. But make no mistake, we have a lot of work to do, and that's what we're going to be doing for the next 20 days or so.
Gabe, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate you guys.
Always a pleasure.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.